Welcome, everybody. Nice to see you. Morning, evening, wherever you happen to be. Welcome to my series, this Chodesh Elul. And we're going to have three sessions, the next three Wednesday mornings at 9:45 Eastern Daylight Time. And today we're going to talk about Slichos. Next Wednesday, we'll talk about the Rosh Hashanah davening. And in two Wednesdays, we'll talk about the Yom Kippur davening. And what I want to do is I want to both give an overview of these topics, kind of getting us ready for Rosh Hashanah, but at the same time to kind of dive in and kind of look more carefully at something that we, you know, have been saying for a very long time, but may not have given so much thought to. So let's start with Slichos. Now, what are Slichos? Now, to some of us, Slichos are these things that we do. It's going to be a week from this Saturday night. Something we go to shul on Saturday night, whether it's early or late, and we recite the Slichos, the Chas, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Davins, and the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur tune. Probably the white covers are put onto the paroches and the shulchan, and it's the first time you begin to feel Rosh Hashanah in shul. And for most people, that's it. That's the end of Slichos. And then we pick up Slichos again on Kol Nidre night. We have the familiar Slichos again, Kol Nidre night in Yom Kippur. But actually, Slichos are recited in the Ashkenazi tradition every single morning, the way we have it, every single morning before davening. From that time, a week from Saturday night, through Yom Kippur. I want to understand, what are Slichos? Where do they come from? Well, first of all, you should know that Slichos are a very old tradition. The very first Siddur that was ever written by someone by the name of Rav Amram Gog, who lived in Babylonia in the 800s. And there was a community in Spain that came to him and said that, you know, that we don't know how to daven. Would you be willing to write us a Siddur? And he wrote a Siddur. And it was a Siddur that was really a year-long Siddur. We'd call it a Siddur and a Machzor all together in one. And it had all the davenings for the whole year. What's amazing about Rav Amram Gog Siddur, and we still have it today, is that the Siddur is very similar to the Siddur that we have. Means you could almost daven from Rav Amram Gog Siddur. It's that familiar. And in Rav Amram Gog's Siddur, we find Slichos, penitential prayers, that were recited, at least according to Rav Amram Gog, on Yom Kippur and on fast days. That's when they were recited, according to Rav Amram Gog. It seems to be that in the medieval period, in the 1100s, the 1200s, in the 1300s, that the Slichos were expanded to be recited beyond just Yom Kippur, but in the days leading up to Yom Kippur. And here we have different traditions. I don't know if we have any Sfaradim on this call, but if we have any Sfaradim on this call, you already are right in the middle of Slichos. Your Slichos began at the beginning of the month of Elul, and every morning the Sfaradim say Slichos until Yom Kippur. The Ashkenazim tend to have a different custom. Now, there were a couple of different customs about the Ashkenazim. The Avudraham started saying Slichos in the 15th of Elul. The Ran says that in Barcelona, they started saying Slichos on the 25th day of Elul. Because actually, if you think about it, Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation of man. We say Hayom Haras Olam, that today is the day of creation. But actually, it's the creation of man, of human beings. That's what we celebrate on Rosh Hashanah. So if human beings were the sixth day of creation, then the first day of creation was the 25th day of Elul. And that's when we start saying Slichos, or at least that's when they started saying Slichos in Barcelona. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, the source of much Ashkenazic custom, has a different tradition. He says that you start reciting Slichos on Motzai Shabbos, on Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Why Saturday night? Most of the commentaries say that on Saturday night, you're in a good mood. On Saturday night, you feel good after you smell the besamim. On Saturday night, you're still wearing your Shabbos clothing, right? Hasidim still wear their shtreimlach to slichos. They're still in the Shabbos mood. So it's nice to say slichos when people are still in the Shabbos mood. But the Rama says, you see, if that was true, by the way, then we wouldn't start saying slichos a week from this Saturday night. We would start saying slichos 2 weeks from this Saturday night, because that's the Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night. We would start saying slichos on Saturday night right before Rosh Hashanah. But we don't do that. We actually this year start saying slichos on the Saturday night prior, 8 days before Rosh Hashanah. What's that all about? So the Rama tells us that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Monday or on Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on Wednesday. Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on Sunday. Lo adu rosh v'lo b'du Pesach. Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Monday or Tuesday, you start saying slichos the Saturday night before, prior, 8 days or 9 days before. That's our situation this year. Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday night. We start saying slichos on the Saturday night prior, 8 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? So for that, there is an explanation. You know, for many of us, fasting on Yom Kippur is a big deal. And for those of us who also fast on Tzom Gedalia, the idea of fasting on Tzom Gedalia and then fasting a week later is really a big deal. But our idea that fasting is hard is really something that's kind of modern. Seems to be that the Jews, people generally, maybe Christians, Muslims, we know from Ramadan, but let's talk about the Jews for a minute. They seem to have been prone to fast a lot. There were a lot of fast days. And it seems to be that the custom was in the time of the Gaonim and maybe in the time of the Rishonim in medieval Ashkenaz, that around Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, people used to fast 10 days. In addition to Yom Kippur, people would fast 10 days. Where, how did they create those 10 days? Well, during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so how many days are there during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? There are 7 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is Monday and Tuesday. Right? Monday and Tuesday. Then you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shabbos you skip. Sunday, Monday. Okay? You have Sunday, Monday, because you can't, you're not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. So you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. You have 5 days to fast, correct? And then, what do you need to do? They used to fast 10 days, including Yom Kippur. They used to fast 10 days. So where do you get the 10 days from? So the answer is that they would borrow days from before Rosh Hashanah. There need to be at least 4 days of slichos before Rosh Hashanah, because you need to get 4 days before Rosh Hashanah to complete the 10 days of fasting up to and including Yom Kippur. And that's why we recite slichos starting the Saturday night before, even though it's 8 days or 9 days before Rosh Hashanah. So actually, even though we don't fast now all those days around Rosh Hashanah or preliminary to Rosh Hashanah, that's why the slichos began earlier than just right before Rosh Hashanah. So that's our tradition, is that we begin the slichos earlier than Rosh Hashanah. We miss 4 days, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuvah, and Erev Yom Kippur. We make up those days by fasting 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. But what are slichos? Now, interestingly, how long each day of the 10 days, you want to know how long they fasted. They fasted like Lahavdil, the Muslims fast on Ramadan. They fasted from morning to night. They didn't fast. They would eat at night. You can't go into Yom Kippur. You can't go into Yom Kippur having fasted like that for a whole week. I will tell you, I mean, this is just a side note, but I will tell you, that we live a life of luxury. We eat a lot of food. They didn't eat a lot of food. You know, until the modern period, people didn't have very much to eat. They ate bread. That's why meals were always centered around bread. They had bread and something in the Middle Eastern countries. They took their pita and they put it in tahina or hummus or something like that. And in the European countries, they took their bread, their fresh bread, and they would eat it with something. People didn't eat so much. So therefore, fasting really wasn't, for a lot of people, fasting wasn't all that difficult. We're used to eating. If you're used to eating, fasting is hard. If you're not used to eating so much, fasting is not so difficult. So we make up the 4 days that we lose during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Shuva, and Erev Yom Kippur, and we make those days up in the 4 days, the four extra days of Slichos before Rosh Hashanah. Now, why are Slichos interesting? Slichos are interesting because slichos are a made-up prayer service. That is really, really interesting. They are a made-up prayer service, right? It's not davening. It's probably the slichos originated as part of the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. Just like we do on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where we add the additions to the davening as part of the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. So too, that's probably what they used to do in the old days too. But at some point, Slichos got separated from the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. Probably the reason for that is that they used to say the Slichos at a different time than davening. That they didn't say Slichos in the morning as part of davening. Maybe they said Slichos in the middle of the night. Maybe they'd say Slichos first thing in the morning. Maybe they said Slichos at night earlier. There were different customs when they said Slichos. But the minute that you separate Slichos from Shacharis, therefore you need to create its own service. You can't just put it as part of the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. You're creating its own service. Now, wow, that's amazing. You're creating your own service. We know what Shacharis looks like. Shacharis was created, Rav Amram Gon has it, Shacharis was around from the beginning of davening, right? Literally from the earliest period, the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, Shacharis looks like Shacharis look. Psukah Dezimra, Shema, Shmon Esrei, and then a conclusion. Mariv looked like Mariv looked, Shema and Shmon Esrei. Mincha looked like Mincha looked, Ashrei, Shmon Esrei, and Aleinu, and that is the, and that's Mincha. But here we have Slichos. We have no model for Slichos because there just is no model because we're making up the Tefillah. The Tefillah came because we separated it from the Shmoneh Esrei. So they needed to make a Tefillah. They needed to make a service out of the Slichos. So at some point, in the early medieval period, and here I can identify the moment because Rav Amram Gon doesn't have these Slichos. In Rav Amram Gon, in the 800s, Slichos are part of repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. By the medieval period, we have Slichos that are separate from the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. So sometime between the year 800 and 1100, the Slichos were separated. The minute the Slichos are separated, there needs to be a structure. Everything in Judaism has a structure. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to say that minhagim, things that we create ourselves, have to be based on something within the tradition. We can't make things up on our own. If we make things up, we need to model them on something that we know. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that the morning practices during Sfiras HaOmer and during the 3 weeks are modeled on the morning after a parent dies. Because you can't make up minhagim. You're going to tell me you're supposed to mourn? What does it mean to mourn? Judaism knows what it means to mourn. After a parent dies, we know what it means to mourn. So during Sfiras Omer and during the 3 weeks, we mourn the way that you mourn when a parent dies. Same thing here. Here we have a prayer service that we're making up. We're taking it out of the Chazaras HaShatz and we're making it a separate prayer service. How do we do that? Can't just make it up. Not allowed. It has to be based on something that we have. So what do we have? What does it look like now? So now I want to learn Slichos together with you. The first thing I want to show you is the Reed Family Edition, Slichos Kored Minaglit. There's a new book, literally hot off the press. Here it is, put out by Koren just this year. Slichos with an introduction and commentary by Rabbi Jacob Jashak. It's a very interesting book. If you're interested in Slichos, it's literally 1,100 pages on Slichos with a translation and a commentary, the introduction, all about Slichos. The first thing you should know for those people who say Slichos is that there are different traditions of Slichos. The Slichos that you say in a Nusach Ashkenaz shul are different than the Slichos that you say in a shtiebel. Nusach Sfard is different than Nusach Ashkenaz. They're a little different. The piyutim, the paragraphs that they say in the Slichos are different. And therefore, just as a kind of a user note, I will tell you that you need to know if you go to Slichos in the morning, you need to know where you're going for Slichos. Right? You have to know what kind of shul you're going to. Because if you go into a shtiebel and you have your minig lita, Slichos book, you're not going to know how to follow. If you go into a shtiebel, you need minig Poland. If you go into a big Ashkenazi shul, you need minig lita. You need to know what kind of Slichos are said. But for everybody, this is just interesting. We're going to begin to delve into it. But what we don't cover, here it is in, Rabbi J.J. Schachter's book. Sephardic ones are nicer. So this is a whole, I mean, we could be here for a week talking about all of this material. But when you say Sephardic, you don't mean what I'm saying is Sephardic. I'm saying Sephardic in the shtiebel sense of the word Sephardic. You mean Sephardic in the Middle Eastern, Edot HaMizrach Sephardic. That's correct. I mean, the Sephardim, they have much longer Slichos because they're saying Slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul. They're nicer. You mean that they're more understandable. Generally, medieval Ashkenazic poetry is very, very difficult. And so therefore, the Sephardic poetry is more understandable. Just as a side note, I'll tell you the same thing is true about the Kinos. The Kinos that they wrote in the Spanish communities after the expulsion from Spain in 1492 are also easier to understand than the Slichos than the Kinos that we recite. But what I want to look at to start is what do more relatable. Yeah, okay. I mean, part of that is that we don't understand the Ashkenazi Slichos, so it's hard to know what's relatable. I want to now, with all of you, I want to look at the Slichos very quickly. I want to look at the Slichos in terms of their structure. The text I'm going to use, just because it's a convenient text online, is from Sfaria. Sfaria is always great. And here, Sfaria, the app, you just go onto Slichos. You can choose Minig Litza or Minig Poland. And here are the Slichos as they appear. Let me just share my screen with you. Here we go. Slichos Liyom Rishon. Okay? We start with Ashrei. Okay? I'm not going to comment yet. We start with Ashrei, and then we have a Chatzi Kaddish. Okay? Then we have Slichos. We have a long paragraph, Shomea Tfila Decha Kol Basar Yavo. Long paragraph, a collection of psukim that talk about how God forgives us. The last three lines are famous, Haneshamalah, the Haguf Pa'alach, God, our souls and our bodies are with you. Chusal amalah. Have compassion on us. Slach lanu avinu, ki virov ivaltenu shaginu. Forgive us because we've sinned. Mechalanu malkenu ki rabu avoneinu. And then we have a psicha, an introduction to the Slichos. And then a this and a that. And then we have for the first time, the Yud Gimel Midos, which we're going to come back to. The 13 attributes of God. Hashem of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Bechan, and God is full of mercy. Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, V'emes, Notze Chesed, Lo Alofim, God who's compassionate to everybody. That's what we say. Okay? That's what we say. Then we have a paragraph. We call it a piyut, a poem, an Ashkenazi poem. Chasum Shlomo HaBavli. This might be an earlier one written from someone from Babylonia. Mostly they're from Ashkenaz. Okay? After that, we go back to Vayavar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra. That's the refrain. The 13 attributes of mercy, that's the refrain. Then we have a second one. Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. Again, Shlomo HaBavli. Tavo L'Benecha Shabbas Tinun. Then again, Vayavar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Echad. Then the first one, Bimotsa'i Menucha ki Damnucha Tefila. The first pismon, and a pismon just means that we recite it responsibly. During the week, you just say it responsibly. The chasen says it, then everybody else says it, and then goes one ahead. And usually the first night, if you have a nice chasen, so he has a tune for Motsa'i Menucha. Bimotsa'i Menucha, on Saturday night, on the Motsa'i of the day of Menucha, the night after the Motsai Menucha, Kitam Nucha Tachila, we quickly begin to pray to you, God. Hat Aznacha Mimarom Yoshev Tehila. Listen to us from on high. Lishmoa El Harina Vel Hatfila, to listen to the song and to our prayer. And we recite this pismo, Bimotsai Menucha. Okay? Then again, the refrain, Vayavar Hashem Apana Vayikra. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'chan. So what we have in the Slichos on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and every single day leading up to Erev Rosh Hashanah, is we have three poems with a refrain of the God's attributes of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'chan. That is the Slichos. On Erev Rosh Hashanah and during Aseres Me'tshuva, it's just the number of Slichos are increased, but the setup is the same. You say a poem, then you have the refrain, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Echad. And then you have a bunch of psukim, which finish off with something familiar to all of us. Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu. God, listen to our voices. Chus V'rachem Aleinu, have compassion upon us. V'kabel B'rachemim U'V'ratzon Es Tfilaseinu. Shema Koleinu, like the bracha in Shmon Esrei, Shema Koleinu. Then Hashamnu Bagadnu. Right? Then we hit ourselves, we recite the vidui, the confession, we say that our custom is three times, some places the German custom in KJ, they only say it once, but anyway, either way. And then we say some tfilos that actually find their source in the Gemara and Tainus. Then, Vayom Hashem Al God. Then we say Tachnun. We fall, we say Tachnun. And then we say Kaddish Shalem. Amazing. Why is that amazing? Because let's talk for a minute about what slichos are. We started with Ashrei. Ashrei, we had Chatzi Kaddish. Then we had some psukim. Then we had the poems and the refrains, right? A poem, a refrain, a poem, a refrain, a poem, a refrain. Then we had Shema Koleinu. And then we went into Ashamnu. We went into Tachnu. And we had Kaddish. What does that sound like, everybody? Tell me all, what does that sound like? It should be familiar to everybody. What is the structure of the slichos?
Mincha.
Mincha. Bingo. Oh. Mincha. What slichos is mincha. Starts with Ashrei. It has a middle. The middle is Shmon Esrei. But we don't have a real Shmon Esrei. So they have a Shmon Esrei, a middle, which has psukim, like we start the Shmon Esrei. Then it has a middle piece. In our Shmon Esrei, it's bakasha. We ask God for things. Here we ask God to forgive us. Hashem, Hashem, kol rachum b'chanun. We ask God to forgive us. Then at the end of the Shmon Esrei, what do we have? Wow, you should like jump for joy. We have Shema Koleinu. It's so familiar. We have Shema Koleinu, just like we have at the end of Shmon Esrei. We have Shema Koleinu. What do you have right after Shmon Esrei? We all know, especially in Nusaf Sfard, what do we have after Shmon Esrei? Ashamnu Bagadnu. Everybody in Nusaf Sfard says Ashamnu Bagadnu. They say Vidui every single day of the year, Ashamnu Bagadnu. Then Vayomer David El Gad, which is what we always say. And then we say Kaddish. You don't say Aleinu because they used to connect it to the davening. Aleinu at the end of davening is good enough. It is Ashrei. Rabbi Soloveitchik, bingo, is right again. And that is, they made up a prayer service. Slichos is a made up prayer service. To say it again, Slichos used to be part of the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. When they separated the Shmoneh Esrei, when they separated the Shmoneh Esrei, the Slichos from Shmoneh Esrei, they created a prayer service. You can't just create a prayer service. A created prayer service has to be based on something. What is it based on? So in this case, the created prayer service is based on Mincha, the simplest tefillah that we have. We start with Ashrei, we have a middle, we say Shema Koleinu, we say Tachlin, and we say Kaddishah. That is what the Slichos are. Whoever edited the Slichos, we have no idea who that is, but whomever edited the Slichos had Mincha in their mind, had Mincha in front of them, and they said, we are going to make Slichos look just like Mincha. That's, to begin with, that's the most important thing to know about Slichos. Slichos is a Mincha. Slichos is a Shmoneh Esrei. It's like a Shmoneh Esrei. It's like a davening. It doesn't have the regular davening. We don't have an obligation to daven an extra tefillah during Aseres Beit Shuvah. But it has that structure of Mincha. And that's the way we need to look at the Slichos. Let me just take a breath for 1 second. Are there any questions? Okay. So what I want to look at now is I want to look at that refrain. That refrain is very interesting. What is the refrain? The refrain that we recite again and again and again and again, starting with the beginning of Slichos and going through Ne'ilah, is Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'Emes. God who is the God of compassion, who forgives everybody. And the question is, why is that verse or those verses? Why is that the refrain of the Slichos? What is that? Why is that so special? Seems almost to be that we have some poems that we have that were written in the medieval period, but we always go back to our biblical refrain. What is that biblical refrain? So what I want to do with you this morning, or for those of you this evening, I want to look at the source of that refrain. And I want to try to understand what it's all about. Let's study some Chumash together. So, the Jews have sinned. They worship the golden calf. God wants to destroy the people. And in the end, he gives in to Moshe and he doesn't destroy the people. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, chapter 33, Perek Lamed Gimel. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, lecha lemizeh. Go up from here, go from this place, from Mount Sinai. Ata veha'am asher ha'elita meretz Mitzrayim. You and this people that you took out of Egypt, Moshe, God blames Moshe. You took the people out, not me. You took them out. El aretz asher nishbati l'Avraham liyitzchak liyakov lemor lezarecha etnena. Go to the land that I promised. V'shilachti lefanecha malach. And I won't go myself. I'm going to send an angel. That's a tremendous shtach to the Jewish people. God's not going to go himself. He's going to send an angel. V'gei rashtiyas haknaniho emori v'achiti v'aprizi hachivi v'ayibusi. El eretz zavat chalav udvash. Ki lo e'ele bekir b'cha. I will not go up among you. Kam kisheyo refata, because you're a stiff-necked people. Pen achel cha badare. God really says it's for your sake. You're a stiff-necked people. You're troublemakers, right? You're sinners. If I go with you, I'm just going to destroy you. That's interesting. Vayishma ha'am es ha'davar, vayishma ha'am et ha'davar hazeh. Et ha'davar hara hazeh vayitabalo. And when the people heard this harsh word, they went into mourning. Below shatu ish edyo alav. And they didn't put on their finery, but they didn't put on their jewelry. Vayomar Hashem el Moshe emor el b'nei Yisrael ata am kisheyore. God says to Moshe, tell the people, I'm not going to go with you because you're a stiff-necked people and I'll destroy you. And now take off your jewelry and I'll think about what to do. And the Israelites remained stripped of their finery at Har Sinai. Umoshe yikach et ha'ohel v'natalo michutz l'machaneh harchek din ha'machaneh v'kara lo ohel moed. V'ayakam v'akesh Hashem yitzei lo ohel moed Hashem michutz l'machaneh. If God's not going to be among the people, so therefore Moshe had to take his tent and communicate with God from outside the tent. V'ayakam tzeik Moshe et el ha'ohel yakumu kol ha'am v'nitzvu ish petach ha'halo v'hibitu acharei Moshe ad bo'o ha'ohelah. And they went, if someone wanted to communicate with God, they went to the Ohel Moed that was outside of the tent. V'hayakiva Moshe ha'ohelah. Yered amud ha'anan v'yamad petach ohel v'diberi Moshe. V'ra'a kalam et amud ha'anan omeid petach ohel. V'kam kalam v'shachavu ish petach ha'olah. V'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim. God spoke to Moshe face to face. Kashe yidaber ishal reyehu. V'shav el ha'machaneh u'mishartu Yehoshua ben Nun nar lo yamish mitoch ha'ohel. V'yomer Moshe el Hashem, and God says to Moshe, says to God, Re'e atah omer elai ha'al et am hazeh. He says, you said to me, take this people. V'atah lo hodatani et asher tishlachi mi. And you didn't tell me who you're going to send with me. You said, God, that you liked me, but you're not giving me, you tell me you're not going to go. I don't know who's going to go. How am I going to get the people to Israel? If you like me, tell me how the whole thing's going to work. What's the game plan? Right? Who's going to take us? Vayomar, and God said, Panay Elechu Vanichot Yivach. God says, I will go and I will lighten your burden. It's not clear what that means. Vayomar Elav, Im Ein Panecha Ochim Al Taleinu Mizeh. And Moshe says, if you don't go, I'm not interested. I don't want to go either. Uvame Yivadai Foki Matzati Chain Beinecha Nivamecha. How will I know that I found favor with you? Halo Belech Techaimanu, unless you go with us. Viniflinu Aniva Amcha Mikalama Shalpneho Adama. I'll do what you want. Because I promised to do it. And he said, God says, let me see your presence. God says, I'll make my goodness pass before you and I'll proclaim before you the name of God. But God says, you can't see my face because any man who sees my face will die. Station yourself on the rock. Vasiroti et kapi beraita tachorai ufanai lo yerau. God is angry at the people because they sin. He tells Moshe, you take the people. If I take them, I'll just destroy them. Moshe says, I'm not going to go unless you go. And God seems to say that he's going to go, but it's an odd kind of end to the parak. Because God says, you can't see me directly. You can only see my back. I would say that chapter 33, Perek Lamed Gimel, really ends on a cliffhanger. It's very hard to tell. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. And God says to Moshe, Psalacha shnei luchot avanim karishonim. I want you this time, the first tablets were carved by God. The second time, the tablets are carved by man. Vechatavti al haluchot et advarim asher hayu al haluchot harishonim asher shivarta. Says, and I will write on these luchos the things that were written on the first luchos that you broke. God gives the second luchos to Moshe. Ve'ye nachon laboker, and be ready by morning. Ve'alita baboker el har Sinai v'nitzavta lisham al rosh ahar. here we go. Okay. The ish lo ya'aleimach, and God is not going to go with you. The ish lo ya'aleimach, and no one else will come up with you. V'gam ish al yerah b'chol ha'har, and no one else is going to be seen on the mountain. Gamatzon v'abakar al yiru el mul ha'har ha'hu, and neither the flocks nor the herds will graze at the foot of the mountain. Va'yivsol shnei luchot avanim karishonim. And Moshe carves out two tablets, like the first tablets. Vayashke Moshe baboker, and Moshe gets up early. Vayal el har Sinai kasher tziva Hashem oto. Vayikach biyado shnei luchot avanim, and he takes two tablets. Vayered Hashem be'anan vayitiyatzev b'mosham vayikra b'shem Hashem. And God came down in a cloud and he stood with him there, proclaiming the name of God. Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. And God passed before him and he said, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum bechanun. Interesting. God passed before Moshe and God pronounced, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum bechanun. God, compassionate and gracious, erech apayim, rab chesed v'emet, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and faithfulness. Notzer chesed lo alafim, God who extends kindness to the thousandth generation. Nosei avon vafesha v'chata'ah, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. V'nakei lo yinakei, yet not remitting all punishment. Poked avon avot al banim, v'al b'nei banim al shileshim v'al ribayim. But visiting the iniquity of parents upon children and children's children, upon the third and fourth generation. So God says to Moshe, this is what I'm about. I'm a God of compassion. I extend kindness to the thousandth generation. I forgive iniquity. But v'nakei lo yinakei doesn't go away. Poked avon avot al banim v'al b'nei banim al shileshim v'al ribayim. When we recite this, by the way, we cheat. Because we say, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun erech apayim v'rab chesed v'emet. No, tzechesed lo alofim, no se avon v'fesha v'chata'a v'nakei. And God will forgive us. And then we stop. It's not fair, because the pasuk says, v'nakei lo yinakei. That God will not wipe out the sin. But we stop early. We stop only in God's compassion. Vayimaher Moshe, and Moshe goes quickly, vayikod arza vayishtachu. And he bows down. Vayomer, and Moshe says to God, Imna matzati chen beinecha Adonai, yeilechna Adonai bekirbeinu. May God go with us, right? It's not good enough the angel goes. I want you to go with us. Ki am ksheyorefu. God said that since they're an am ksheyoref, that since they're a stubborn people, I can't go with them because I'm going to destroy them. Moshe turns God's argument on its head. And says, because they're a stiff-necked people, all the more so that they need you to go with them. V'solachta lavoneinu l'chatoteinu nechaltanu, and you will forgive us. And then God says, Hinei anochi korei brit neged kolamcha, and he quotes, it says, seems that God accepts Moshe's argument. And he says, I'm going to make a brit, I'm going to make a covenant, asher lo nivru, and he makes a covenant with the people. What exactly is going on here? I just read you two of the most important, from a chapter and a half, of the most important psukim in Chumash. The Jews sin the golden calf. God wants to wipe out the people. But God eventually forgives the people, doesn't wipe them out, and gives them a second set of tablets. According to tradition, Moshe came down with the second set of tablets with the second luchos on Yom Kippur. Even though the Torah doesn't state that explicitly, but that is what the rabbis teach us. The Moshe Rabbeinu came, he went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he came down with the second tablets on Yom Kippur. What happens exactly? Moshe and God have a little game with one another. God says, you're a stiff-necked people. I'm not going to go with you. Because if I go with you, then I'm just going to destroy you. And Moshe basically says, hey, that's not the deal. If you, God, don't go with us, then what am I going to do? I don't have a plan. I'm a blueprint. I don't know what to do. You need to come with us. So in the first chapter, chapter 33, Perek Lamed Gimel, Moshe kind of plays back and forth. I'll go with you, but you can't see my front. You can only see my back. Not clear how that ends. And then all of a sudden in chapter 34, God says to Moshe, I want you to carve a set of luchos. And I want, here are the luchos. V'chasapti ala luchos esadvarim asher ayu ala luchos rishonim asher shibarta. The same exact thing that was in the first luchos will be on the second luchos. I'm forgiving you. But what about whether or not God will go with them? And what happens is that God, literally out of nowhere, Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra, God passes before Moshe and he calls. And he calls these 13 attributes, or these attributes, Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim rav chesed v'emes. Out of nowhere, God says, I'm a compassionate God. I'm a compassionate God. And somehow that changes the bargain. Because then Moshe says to God, okay, now they're a stiff-necked people. They need you to go. And God consents. And God makes a bris, God makes a covenant with the people, and God goes. Somehow, this Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun, recited by God, changes everything. And God, who's hesitant to go with the people, all of a sudden agrees to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's willing to go with the people. But it's recited by God. Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun. What is this? Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. How did this recitation of this verse by God, how did that change the bargain? How did that tell Moshe that therefore he can ask God to come and God makes a bris and God comes along with the people? What exactly are those verses? Those are the key verses. Those are the psukim that change the bargain. Those are the verses in which God decides to go with the people himself. But how do those verses change the bargain? What does that do? Verses recited by God. So we all know that Chazal, the rabbis, sometimes play a trick. Chazal sometimes turn psukim around or turn stories in Chumash around and reread those stories. And this is just one of those examples. And I want to share with you just a little Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amidet, this is taken from Al HaTorah, Vayavar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra. And God passed before Moshe and he called. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Il Malei Mikra Katuv Yef Shalomra. If the pasuk hadn't said it, I never would have imagined saying such a thing. What does it mean by Yavar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra, that God passed before Moshe and he called? Melamed, it teaches us. Shenisate Pakadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. That a God wrapped himself like a Shliach Tzibur. Behera lo lemoshe seder tfila. And he showed Moshe how to pray to God. Amar lo, he said to Moshe, Kozman she Yisrael chotim, whenever the Jews sin, Yasu lefanai kaseder hazeh vani mochel lahem. Every time the Jews sin, let them recite this special formula, and I will forgive them. Wow, that's unbelievable. Nisate pakadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur. The psukim say, Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. God passed before Moshe and he called. The Gemara switches that up. The Gemara says, what do you mean it's a recitation by God? How does that change the game? It says, no. The recitation by God isn't for the sake of a recitation by God. The recitation by God is that God teaches the Jewish people through Moshe the secret form. And what God does is, Misatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur, he wraps himself in a talis like a Shliach Tzibur. What an amazing image. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews sin, if they want me to forgive them, Yasu Kaseder Hazeh, they need to recite this special form. And all of a sudden, now I understand the psukim. What was it that made it that God would go together with the people, that he wouldn't send an angel, that he wouldn't just send his back, that God would actually go? It's when God taught this secret formula to the people and that Moshe received it and accepted it and said, okay, that's the deal. We'll recite this special formula. As long as you, God, promise to go with us, we will always recite this special formula. Once the people are willing to recite the special formula, so now we have a deal with God. We'll recite the special formula, and God promises to go along with us. And now I understand all of this season. I understand why the refrain for Slichos, for Yom Kippur, is Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Bechanu. Because that's what we see from the Chumash. That was the secret formula that God told Moshe. God says, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel. God says, my back will go, but I won't go myself. And then all of a sudden, God changes his mind. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to just go, but I'm going to give you a secret key. And that key is going to unlock the door that is going to allow me to go with the people and not send an angel. What's that key that's going to unlock the door? It's Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Bechanu. If you recite this and says Yasu Lefanai, not only that you recite this, but you act on it. You show that you understand that God is the God of mercy and God of compassion, then I, God, will go amongst you. And that's all we want from God. We want God to go amongst us. We want God, Yeshua Hashem Behimatso Pirau Bioso Karov. We want God to be amongst us. And that's a secret formula. And the thing we ask from God in Slichos, again and again and again and again, is Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Bechanu. We want, you told us, God, it's you. You told us. You gave us the secret formula. You said, if you do this, then I will go amongst you. And that's what we do. We recite the secret formula. And that's really what Slichos is all about. Slichos is a service, is a tefillah that was created by the rabbis in the medieval period. It was a tefillah that found its origins at the beginning, right? Rav Amram Gon has Slichos for Yom Kippur and for a fasta. In the medieval period, it was separated from the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei, right? And therefore it was created as its own prayer service, which was modeled on mincha. That in itself is worth everything. To understand that we don't make things up, but we model them on what we have is worth everything. It was modeled on mincha. And we have this prayer service. And what is the prayer service? We have a beginning, an ashrei, and beginning. Then we have shvakoleinu, and then we have vidui, and then we have tachnun, and then we have kaddish. But what we really have is we have Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Bechanu. Everything is around Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Bechanu. That's our Shmoneh Esrei. That's the meat of the Shmoneh Esrei. That's the bakasha. That's the request. And what's the request? The request is, God, that you told us a secret. You told Moshe Rabbeinu a secret. You gave Moshe Rabbeinu a secret key. And that secret key unlocks the door to allow you, God, to go with us. And that's what we ask for every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, every Aseres Nei Tshuva. We ask God to go with us. And that's why we recite the Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Bechanu. And that's what Slichos is all about. So whether we say Slichos just for one night, next Saturday night, or whether we go to shul early to recite the Slichos every morning, or whether we just say the Slichos Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur, but this is what the Slichos is about. It unlocks the key. And it says, just like at our Sinai, God will go with us himself and won't send somebody in his place. And that's really what we ask God to do. Let me just take one second and see if there were any questions that I didn't look at properly.
I've got a question. Yes. I've got two questions, actually. One is, God says, I'm going to send an angel, but he said, I will strike all those various tribes that are living in Canaan, and so you're going to get the land. So God is going with you. The angel isn't going to strike those tribes.
And no, he says, I'll send an angel, but I'll make sure that the angel is successful in striking the tribes. The beginning of the pasuk says he's going to send an angel.
But what about the fact that the people did not want God in their midst when after the second commandment, they say, enough, we're going to...
Good, that's not this story. There are a lot of stories that go together. That's not this story. That's a good question, but that's not this story. I will just say someone asked about Yom Kippur. It's interesting that Yom Kippur in the Torah does not have a historical setting. The Torah never identifies the day Moshe came down with the second Luchos as being Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you know, the holidays, Pesach, has a historical connection. Shavuos, at least the rabbis give it a historical connection. Yom Kippur, they weren't worried about the historical connection. But quietly, the idea that Yom Kippur is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos, and it's the day of Hashem, Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, real, not only creates Yom Kippur, but it creates the whole 2 weeks before Yom Kippur. So that really is a very significant moment in the calendar. I want to thank you for joining today. Yes, question. Anybody raise your hand? You want a question?
Alana asked a question in the chat.
Yes.
About whether there's a deeper reason for using Mincha as a model for Slichus rather than.
No, the Mincha is the simplest davening. If you have to create a new prayer service, you want to create it around the simplest davening. Why bother with Shachris? Where are you going to get Pesukah de Zimra from and all those things? You might as well take the simplest davening. Okay, very good. Next week, please God, what we'll do is we'll talk about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we'll go through the Machzor, we'll talk about some of the themes of Rosh Hashanah, and in 2 weeks we'll talk about Yom Kippur. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to seeing you next week. Be well and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you everyone for joining. I believe that I will be seeing some of you again in just a couple of minutes at Rabbi Dr. Martin Lukshin's shiur. Tomorrow we're starting two new series, one of them by Rabbi Alex Israel, about the spiritual arc of the month of Tishrei, and Dr. Benny Gesundheit will also be teaching on Tshuva in Tanakh, particularly the readings that we do during the High Holidays. So I hope to see you there, and if not, next week. Thank you.